Father, once again, we have assembled together, and we're grateful for your presence and the presence of our neighbors. And so now, cover us, keep us, unite us, and fill us for the places that you will send us. This we ask in your wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. No matter what portion of the scriptures that I am reading or turning to, I come before them seeking comfort, but often recognize how I'm being challenged. And so even within the shadow of the song that has just been lifted, my Lord, what a morning. This particular passage, this particular scripture, is one that is challenging in its hearing, and most of all, in its living. And so often, like many of my colleagues, I find myself standing before you on a Sunday morning in the shadow of the closing of the week gone by, and in the magnificent and miraculous dawning of the present that has been given to us. Standing here recognizing the grand possibilities, though, that are held within the week that is before us. Yet there are times, I must admit, that I'm struggling not to gaze too long in the rearview mirror of life, when I should be focusing on the days ahead. So I arrive here at the cathedral, catching myself, speaking to myself, and on occasions even saying out loud, what a week it has been. Like many of you, and I recognize you may be sitting here and reflecting upon the days that have gone by, and even you are joining, perhaps in your own thoughts, but perhaps even out loud, saying, what a week this has been. Some weeks, perhaps we say that more than others, but it is a constant temptation for most of us to live life with the problem of an always present past. When we consider the worldly conflicts and the tensions of interactions from nation to nation, the negotiations and the communications, what a week it has been. When we consider the divisive and problematic atmosphere of our national politics, aired over media, side against side, voice against voice, trying to search for rights and declare what wrongs may be, what a week it has been. When we reflect upon and pray for the loss of youthful potential and hear the tragic ending of possibilities resulting from more school shootings because of the gun prevalence within our society, what a week it has been. And truth is, when we begin to contemplate our own unique stresses, strains, hopes, and fears that have filled our week on a personal level, you can begin right there just saying what a week it has been. If it had been up to us, though, and most of us reasonably would be in a position to say that we would have rather arrived here this morning having traveled roads that had no distress and no disappointments. Our week would have been full of victories without defeats. There would have been voids of any pains and pressures. All of the differences in our lives would have been resolved, and the divisions would have been dissolved. But because of the circumstances around us, I remind you that we are often traveling roads of life that we did not plan and had no expectations of going through. There are many here who have gone through this week, but truth is, you can look over your life and admit that there are roads that you have traveled that you did not plan on traveling. And there are roads that you have gone through that if you had your choice, you would have not gone through. Life is full of unexpected roads that we are often called to travel. Think about it for a moment. We routinely set our plans, chart our course, set our destinations. We set the destination for the day ahead, for the weeks ahead, and sometimes even our destinations for the year ahead, only to experience detours and diversions. Mountaintops as well as valley lows. This may perhaps be pictured best and communicated best by reminding many and sharing with you that most days I get up in the morning and I set my course for the cathedral. I leave home having made my plans, charted my course, only along the way to experience unplanned circumstances that regulate and alter my estimated time of arrival. There are days I encounter unintended detours and have to take a route that I did not plan on taking and travel through places I did not want to travel to. And I even experience situations that I would rather not experience. We have all traveled roads of life, and we find ourselves here today being able to listen in on a conversation between Jesus and the crowd present at the temple. And once again, his words were perhaps words that they were not expecting to hear. Picture in your mind's eye for a moment and join me in the thoughts of your imaginations as we paint a picture and think of a crowd that had gathered in a place of opulent beauty. Think about a crowd that had gathered and all around as they looked was adorned with beauty surrounding them. Imagine, if you will, a crowd who had gathered and assembled, and they're looking at stone upon stone and gifts that have been dedicated before them. Think about that crowd, and just for a moment, it doesn't take long out of your imagination that that crowd may have looked like this crowd. That even in that moment, as they're gazing and as they're looking, in the midst of their gazing, Jesus begins to speak about change, chaos, confusion, and challenge. Imagine the emotions and the reactions as the focus shifts from one moment to the next. The disciples who have gathered see the external adornment, but perhaps they were failing to see the possible spiritual bankruptcy that could be experienced when facing difficult moments. If we're not careful, just like them, we may well focus on the temporary drama around us and miss the message that tells us that through our faith in God, we can overcome any difficulties. There are moments in all of our lives when the chaos around us can confuse us, when the chaos can drive us to embrace demeanors and conclusions that rob us of our godly purposes. Jesus speaks to them and speaks to us in order that when we feel like quitting and giving up on life, when the going gets rough and when there's a need for us to get tough, that we would have a strong enough faith to keep on living, to keep on striving, and most of all, to keep on thriving. To put it plainly, we would be able to go through it in order that when we get to the other side, we can talk about how we got over it. Jesus paints a problematic picture, and Jesus speaks about giving your testimony and enduring the weights that are part of living in this world. To endure some of those dark nights of the soul, to endure some of those here stumbling blocks along the way, to endure the confusion and the chaos, he tells them that when life looks bleak and the future is seemingly cloudy, he communicates in the Hamlin translation that these circumstances are not necessarily liabilities, but they should be seen as possibilities. Possibilities and opportunities for great victories. Great victories if we ground our faith not in the circumstances around us, but ground our faith in a God who is always with us. Over these next few weeks, we will be reminded that he's not just God looking at us. He is God who is with us. There have been times in my life when it has been difficult to see possibilities around me, and I had to trust in the good news that God is with me. Just like them, they heard his words, and perhaps like them, we're here today quietly asking the same questions that they might have asked. How do you keep going when life appears to be out of order? How do we prevent ourselves from becoming prisoners of a pessimism that has us walking around with a grim outlook or falling into such despair that we lose sight of remote and mighty ends that have been prepared for us? How do we overcome difficulties and divisions? The only way to do that is when we're guided and empowered by our faith. Simply put, how do we see it through? There's a poem that I learned years ago that I'm reminded of on this day that I learned while pledging my fraternity, whose founding day is today. That here I had to recite the poem over and over again by Edgar A. Guest, "See It Through." I won't recite it all, but just the beginning of the words of this poem says, when you're up against the trouble, meet it squarely face to face. Lift your chin, set your shoulders, plant your feet and take a brace. When it's vain to try to dodge it, do the best that you can do. You may fail, you may conquer, but see it through. It is commitment to the cause of Christ, the commitment to a God who is with us, commitment to doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with our God that is essential to living a vibrant life. It was Howard Thurman in his publication, Disciplines of the Spirit, that reminded us the meaning of commitment as a discipline of the Spirit must take into account the mind and the spirit cannot be separated from the body in any absolute sense. We must always remember that whenever we're reading and listening to the words that are lifted out of the Gospels, that are lifted out of this book we call the Bible, that the book is not about us. We often go to the book trying to find us, trying to look at us, trying to talk about us, when the book is about a God who loves us, a God who cares for us, a God who makes ways for us. I open the book and I can find some things about me, but the good news is I find out more about him. We live in a world where when we approach God, we make the mistake of going to God for God to work for us, when what God really wants is to work through us. Jesus tells the crowd that has gathered to endure. He paints a picture that looks bleak, but he says endure. And what I've learned in life is that there are times when it appears that God is bruising me. But what I've learned is that sometimes God is using those circumstances in order that he can use me. We have all wondered at times, why is this happening? Why does it have to be this way? Why does the news have to come up the way that it comes up? Why do we have to hear things over and over again? We've asked the question, God, what are you up to in the midst of these days and in the midst of circumstances? Those who have placed our faith in God, we're called in times like these to stand up, to speak up. What am I trying to tell you this morning? Simply put, out of the word that is before us, never give up. God has a way of working through the mysterious in order to achieve the miraculous. And there's some miraculous moments that are waiting to take place while you're walking through the mystery of circumstances before you right now. In order to make corrections, in order to correct the wrong things that are part of this life, in order to lift right over wrong, in order to comfort our neighbors, to help those who have been hurt and put down, God doesn't just want to do something for us. God wants to work through us. But in order to get it done, sometimes God has to turn what we think is right side up, upside down. It should not be so difficult and so discomforting to imagine that or to see that and how that works. So in order to help you, I remind you that you don't need something grand to understand this. We don't need intricate technologies in order to see how God does this. You can look at an example that you had when you were first in kindergarten. It's simply a pencil. Hold it in your hand one way. You can write and make marks. Hold it in your hand one way, and you can hear, communicate. And truth is, you can even put down mistakes. But turn it upside down, and there's an eraser on the other end that can wipe out all the mistakes, that can create more room for right to be put in its place, that can make more room for the new to take the place of the old. And so what am I telling you this morning? That perhaps some of us are being turned upside down so that God can use us in times like this. Turned upside down so that some people may look at the mysterious and encounter the miraculous. And so on this day, if you're going through something, you may be in the best position, not just for God to do something for you, but for God to do something through you. Amen.
Let us affirm our faith.